Thanks for tuning in to Happy Horror Time. Before we get started, check out this quick sneak peek of a podcast called The Ugly Bettys, where our friends, George and Steven, break down every single episode from the entire Ugly Betty series.
Hi, I'm Steven.
Hi, I'm George.
And this is the Ugly Betty's podcast, where we, two super fans of Ugly Betty, we're going to watch the whole show from beginning to end, from the pilot to the finale.
And we're just going to talk about every single episode during each episode of this podcast. And we're just going to talk about the acting, the story, the guest stars, the behind the scenes, any stories, any fun facts that came with each and every episode of Ugly Betty.
And who knows who's going to show up.
We hope you have a great time. We're gonna dissect this series, and we are going to honor the late, great Sylvia Horta. My heart is still broken that he is no longer with us. He left behind some incredible work. I have been a longtime admirer of Horta's work, and I can't wait to jump right in and just watch this series from start to finish.
So tune in and join
the Ugly Bettys.
And welcome to another episode of Happy Horror Time. I'm Tim Murdoch.
And I'm Matt Emmert. And we're here today to review two new-ish movies. I always say new-ish because...
But they're still new.
No, they're new. I always...
They're 2021.
Here's the thing, Happy Horror Time listeners. We, as you know, we spoil everything.
Yeah, so... Well, you don't want to hear the ending, just turn off your podcast.
Yeah, well, but we try to pick movies that didn't come out like yesterday or something. It's usually a couple didn't come out like 1 or 2 days before it's going to air, our podcast is going to air, because then it's like nobody's seen them and then we spoil everything.
Right.
So so we try to pick movies that came out like a few weeks ago, right, Tim?
Yeah, I've seen these trailers, and I thought both of them were delicious.
They were. I mean, these are some crazy-ass movies. Am I saying that?
Yeah. I mean, I prefer you don't ever say the word ass. You can say some crazy butt movies.
The crazy butt movies. Wait, but actually, before we even start, Tim, I got to check in. How have you been?
Great. You know, me and my Valentine, we drove to Palm Springs, had dinner in a crowded restaurant, and we were engaged.
Oh, wow. So wait, this is opposite day.
Alternative facts.
Okay,
yes.
Okay. So what you really mean is that you sat at home in a corner crying for
yes,
a Valentine.
I did not go to Palm Springs. I did not have a boyfriend, and I did not get engaged to. Happy Valentine's Day.
You're like, I can't even be in a crowded restaurant, so everything is fake.
You know, I didn't want to talk about the pandemic, but pandemic.
So, the pandemic. Our Valentine's Day was chill. We didn't really... No, I don't think we didn't go anywhere. We were going to go somewhere, and then we were lazy, but Jacob cooked brunch because that was like us doing something special, and I got him an orchid.
Oh, I love orchids.
You know what? I think orchids are like simple, but like nice, and look, you can see it's right there.
Oh, it's beautiful. I got Cheryl's cookies from my mom, so... Yeah.
Hey, you know what? Valentine's Day is about love. And so as long as you're getting love from someone.
You know, I love Cheryl's cookies. I love them. So if Cheryl's cookies is listening, send me a free box.
I know. I actually love Cheryl's cookies too. And as we turn into an
ad
for
Cheryl's
cookies.
So you know, we don't know Cheryl.
I know her cookies.
I know. I love them.
I like
cookies.
Tossing
yeah.
her cookies. What? Ew, tossing cookies. Wait, tossing
You're eating
cookies.
Vomit.
Wait, tossing cookies is vomiting. Sorry, I got that mixed up
You're
with
gross.
Something sexual. I think my family's been sending Cheryl's cookies since I was a kid. It's been around a long time.
I think they disappeared from my life, but now they're coming back with that vengeance.
A vengeance. Cheryl's like, get those fucking cookies
yeah,
out there.
There's not a day that goes by I don't get an email. And like, then do you get that huge thing in the mail?
Like the catalog?
Yes.
Or the, yeah, yeah.
And my mouth, no joke, my mouth starts watering.
Your mouth starts watering to toss those
cookies. I'm drooling.
You're like, cookies. I can't believe we're talking this much about Cheryl's cookies.
It's on our minds.
Cheryl's, if you want us to be a sponsor for you, we are totally available, yeah. right?
Cookies and creatures? That's stupid. Never mind. F that.
If you want a different idea, email happyhorrortime@gmail.com. No. Yep. Wait, oh, I lost my train of thought because the Cheryl's cookies with, like, the frosting on them are so good.
I know. And you know what's crazy? I brought you some and you ate all the ones with frosting.
Well, first, I'm going to eat all of them, but I ate the ones
with
frosting.
You can eat
those
oatmeal raisins until your eyes bleed. I hate them.
Until my eyes bleed.
Yeah.
Well, I hope everyone had a great Valentine's Day and had a great February, the shortest month. I can't believe we're almost at March.
And you know what it's known for? Leprechauns.
March and March Madness.
That's right. Is that like March Madness means like selling cars?
I think it's about basketball. Oh my God. Could that have been any
gayer?
I think March Madness is about basketball.
Oh my God.
Hey,
I'll ask my dad.
If you are a straight man listening to this and hearing us, I give you full permission to make fun of us for not knowing what March Madness is. Actually, you know what? I shouldn't be like only straight men know what March Madness is. There's plenty of gay men who probably love March Madness, right?
I haven't met them, but
I know that's true. I don't know. Actually,
I know there are gay men out there that love sports.
A lot of my straight male friends don't even love sports. So, like, let's just get rid of sports.
Yeah. They're dumb.
Look, just sport. Oh my God. You know, but the sport that takes the most out of you is the sport that Tim and I did for 5 years, kickball, right, Tim?
You know, I phoned that in.
I was going to say, what do you not phone in? I've gone to workouts with you.
I know,
okay?
No, I did the workout.
You did it, but you would say you would phone it in.
Well,
you gave like 30%,
I think. I sweat the way you did. I mean, you could like get...
I am a sweaty, dirty pig. I'm not going to lie.
Know, I don't want to agree with you, but I saw it. So.
Yeah, I sweat a lot. You know what? My doctor said it's healthy as he was rolling his eyes and thinking, dirty pig.
No. I know it is good because it gets out the toxins, but I'm just... I don't like to sweat.
What that means, Tim, is you don't have any toxins.
I don't. I'm so clean with my Cheryl's cookies.
You are so clean. Well, speaking of toxins, just kidding. No,
these movies are not toxic.
No, we are going to get into, and I have a feeling that one of these movies you guys will have heard of, and one of these movies, unless you have Shudder, you may not have. And we're going to start with that one.
Yes.
It's a little movie called, Tim?
I'm shook.
It's just called Shook, but Tim was shook.
I was shook.
What I want to say before we even start is that Shudder is really kicking it up. They're releasing like a new movie almost every week. A Shudder exclusive movie. And yes, they get it from horror film festivals, but who cares? Like, that's the thing. Like, if it's exclusive.
I hope they get ours.
Oh, my God.
Hashtag come in movie.
Yes. Well, I mean, if they're showing shorts, they should definitely show us. Hi, Shudder and Cheryl's Cookies. Contact us at happyhorrortime@gmail.com.
Yeah, that's right. We'll accept any cookies you want. Even the ones that fall on the floor.
And we'll send you our film. We can put a cookie in our next film.
Yeah, cookie.
Well, so this movie's called Shook. And I think what attracted Tim and I to it, other than the title.
Yeah.
Right?
Because, you know, I am always saying, like, hey, Matt, I'm shook.
Yes. Tim is so Gen Z. Tim is like on TikTok.
I'm woke and I'm watching shit.
Tim is woke and he's watching Shook. It is really funny. So it's about an influencer. Her name's Mia. And what I think is really funny is that it starts with,
I loved the opening of this film. It had the Chromatic singing, Girls Just Wanna Have Fun. And it was so glossy, like a magazine. I loved it.
Well,
they
make you think that it's like these three different influencers on a red carpet event. And then they pull out and show that they're really in a parking lot and faking it. And I've got to say, I'm probably going to sound really anti-influencer. I'm sorry
it's
for all
okay.
the influencers
You're in a safe
out
place.
Here. But I loved that because it shows how much on like social media it's all about like creating a facade and half of it is not real. And it wasn't that funny like when they're in the parking
lot? And then for some reason one of the influencers goes to the restroom.
I mean, why would people go to the restroom? It's
I don't
crazy.
Know. And she's wearing this beautiful dress. I think it's pink, right?
Yes, and she has a dog with her. She goes and the dog is with her because, you know, every influencer has to carry a little dog with her.
I take pictures with dogs because I think it... 10% more guys swipe right.
Is that like a statistic?
I'm just made up.
I know. Well, I believed you. I was going to say, well, for influencers, maybe they get 10% more
followers.
It's
an alternative fact.
You love those.
Listen, Kellyanne.
Okay. So anyway, tell us. What happens?
So then she goes in there with a cute little dog and her dog pisses on her. And then that's why she went to the bathroom, and then she's trying to clean it off. So she takes off her dress, and then there's like...
She's wearing Spanx, by the way, which again was another thing. It's like, again, it's all about image crafting. Like, you think she has this tiny little skinny girl in this tiny dress. She takes off the dress. She has like a full Spanx suit
on. Nothing is as it seems. Yeah. So then she goes over to the dog, and there's, I guess there's someone in the stall. And
yeah, who pulls the dog away.
Yeah, they take the dog, and then like they have a blue shoe, and they shove it up through her.
High heel shoe. High heeled shoe. Right below your chin. It basically goes through her face, and it's the first murder.
And then the heel comes out through her mouth.
Which I was telling Tim as we watched this, I was like, it takes a lot of force. I mean, because this ain't no single white female like stiletto.
Right.
This is just a normal high heeled shoe. So for it to go through someone's face, that killer must have been really strong.
I totally agree.
Don't they, right away they flash to, apparently there's been a dog killer.
Which is so random, but you know, I just went with it because I was shook.
Exactly, but they're like, but not only is there a dog killer, just got like a human victim, and apparently, obviously, it was a friend of Mia's who is shook by it. Let's see how many times we can say shook.
I know. Each time, do a shot. That is such a Watch What Happens Live game.
Stop
with
stealing Andy Cohen. Stealing Andy Cohen's material. No. So Mia gets back and you see that she is like, she's an influencer and she has these friends who are like, you gotta come over and live stream with us tonight. And she's like, no, in honor of like the death of my friend, the influencer, I'm gonna go help my sister out and watch her dog.
What's the name of the dog?
Chico.
Oh my God. And they said Chico so much throughout the entire film, which I didn't mind, but I just thought it was crazy. She goes, I got Chico.
But the best part is she's like, I really want to do something selfless. And I just love that that was it. She's gonna, what? First off, if that's the most selfless thing you can do, huh?
Do you hear something ringing?
No.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Oh. Edit that out.
Edit that ring out. Okay. Tim's going crazy, Jacob.
I'm going crazy, y'all.
She thinks that watching her sister's dog is like the most selfless thing she can do, and she decides not to live stream with her friends.
Which, by the way, her three friends are the most annoying people on the planet.
It's two girls who are also influencers.
Two girls, one guy.
And one guy who's her boyfriend,
yes.
Santi.
Santi.
I like that. I like that name. So she goes over to her sister's, and then like you, she's watching the dog in this house by herself. And what one thing that's done well in this movie is that it's very much like, I don't want to say unfriended, but it switches between you seeing things happening on screen, like through a phone and real film. So you get like you, and everyone knows because they text and they message and they video. So you're seeing a combination
it's
of video messages.
Like when a stranger calls, but it's a high tech version. Like she's alone watching Chico in a dark house. And every single time she walks into a room, she's like, lights on.
Oh, they have an Alexa, but it's actually,
they don't say Alexa.
They say, I forget what it is. What's the name? Diana, I think.
Is it Diana?
It's like, Diana, turn on the lights. Diana. So it gets a little annoying because she doesn't turn on any light herself.
And
but
I also want to add, this movie was directed and written by a woman, so it's a different point of view than, you know, a man.
Well, also, and I think that's good because she also, I feel like if a man wrote this, it kind of is poking fun at female influencers, that could look really misogynistic, you
right,
know.
Right.
So it's a different perspective. So it's easier for like her to make fun of, I think, without seeming like maybe she's saying something inappropriate. But well, what happens then is, and this is what started to pull me into the movie. I think you too, right? Like,
no, I thought it was so cool the way that like just walking around a house by yourself in a dark house is always scary.
Well, we got to say what happens. Like, for her sister's gone because, and you find out through things that her sister has some sort of it's like Livingston's disease or some sort of disease where it's going to affect her brain. And their mom had previously passed away of this, and her sister was like the caretaker. Mia was barely involved.
So there's
she's too
some
busy.
Resentment going on from the sister and her influential sister Maya. Mia.
Mia is the influencer. Her sister's Nicole.
So Nicole's a little plain Jane.
Yeah.
And Mia is gorgeous.
And you can tell Nicole's, you know, resentful because she also had to take care of the mom at the end. But anyway, so it's flashing between Mia seeing that her friends are like, hey, Mia, we miss you, blah, blah. And she's
come over.
Yeah, talking to your sister. But then her sister tells us that there's this, like, neighbor guy named Kellen who has been sort of creepy. And this is when it starts to take, like, the horror turn. She starts getting calls from an unknown number and messages from a Kellen. And you first hear it's like Kellen, and he says, because her dog Chico disappears, and she first hears that Kellen calls her, or who she thinks is Kellen, and is saying like asking about his dog being gone. Remember,
right? And then she's answering all of his questions, but she she also wants to get off the phone as soon as possible. She's like, okay, I'll talk to you later. Okay, bye, 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 bye.
But he starts prying in a way that it starts to feel almost like Scream. Like, well, remember in Scream in the opening scene, first, like, the caller or the killer in the Drew Barrymore scene starts with, like, small talk and she's into and then starts prying a little too much and it gets creepy.
And then that's, takes the quiz.
Well, that's what basically starts to happen in this. He starts prying into more info. He's asking about her. Then suddenly he knows about, like, her mother dying and her sister, and he's, like, giving her details about her life, like, you weren't around, you did this, and she starts to think, okay, this is starting to creep me out.
He's super, super judgy, and she is feeling it.
Yeah, and then it gets to the point where she starts getting video messages from him that literally he has taken her friends hostage.
Oh, yeah.
Which I don't know about you, but I was happy about.
I was like, that's frightening, but, like, I also was thinking, like, how is he doing this?
Well, I mean, at this point, and of course we'll spoil it later, but at this point you're thinking, okay, is this creepy guy, is he A, the one who killed the woman and her dog in the beginning? Is he the dog killer? Because they're doing a lot around dogs. But so she starts getting video messages that each of her friends are being, like, held captive. Like, oh, Mia, help, help. And there's all kinds of shit going on. Like, one of her friends apparently, like, slept with her boyfriend the night before. Like, they're all horrible people.
They're all horrible people doing something horrible to this girl. And then, like, she goes to the back and, like, she goes to look at the pool area. When she shuts the door, she can't lock it. So, and there was a shadow.
Yeah, there was definitely something. You're thinking, is someone in the house with her? And if so, how are they at the friend's house? So there's a lot of confusion. But so the Kellen or the killer or whatever starts asking her questions, like saying, you need to choose between, he says, between one of her friends and the dog Chico. And Tim and I are like, please pick Chico. Please pick Chico. No. And she ends up, like, of course she doesn't want to make this choice. And she finally picks the friend. And then she sees her dog get, like, pulled away further around in the house, and there's blood everywhere.
Right. So that's totally effed up.
Well, totally effed up. But again, like Tim was saying, like, you're thinking, okay, I even said to Tim, I was like, okay, I guess there has to be two killers, because how is there someone in her house?
There was a lot of work to be done to do all this to Mia and Descara. Exactly. I was like, this is a lot of work.
To be at her friend's house, keeping them captive. Like, I feel like if Mia stopped to think about the logistics of this, again, if you're scared, you'd be like, how are you here and
the
there?
The calls were so consistent. Always, like, it was almost became like Saw, like, do this, say this.
Yeah, yeah.
You're in this position, and what are you going to do?
Exactly. But at this point, this is when I was enjoying the movie. I don't know about you. Because
no,
it was
totally
feeling,
it
was very Scream, it was very When a Stranger Calls, very Saw, and so it was like, and also she's in a creepy house, and literally every time she turns on the light, it's still dark.
Yeah, it's never lit, but I think that's like director's choice, like, hey, let's keep it scary.
Hey, even when the lights are on, they're off. Yeah, yeah. And of course, you feel, you don't want a dog to get killed, but the good thing is, I will say, you don't like see anything happen to the dog, you just see it get pulled away and blood.
Yeah, like, which as a dog walker, I was very disturbed.
You're like, well, I mean, as a human being,
oh,
I was
no,
disturbed.
No. Only dog
Look,
walkers.
Only dog walkers can get it. Only dog walkers. No, as a pet owner, I was disturbed. But so then we get to, he starts getting like really serious with her. And then he gets to the point where he says, now you have to choose. Oh, by the way, I actually have your sister captive too. Sends her a video of her like sister. And her sister's supposed to be in a different city and on a plane or something, right?
Right, she's going somewhere. So then she goes into the kitchen and she gets the number of the hotel.
Oh.
And she calls, but do we reveal anything?
No. Okay. Not yet. She tries calling her sister, and the sister, she can't
That's
call.
Right.
So she believes that her sister is being held captive. And the killer says, you have to choose between your sister and, I think, your boyfriend, right?
I thought was it a boyfriend or just one of the friends?
It was,
I can't remember. Matter.
I thought they said Santi. Yes, it was the boyfriend. Oh, it was
okay,
the boyfriend.
I think I was confused because Santi.
Could be either like a girl or a guy.
Right.
Name.
So
yeah.
Again, but yeah, I do remember it was her boyfriend.
Yes. So, and she's like, no, I can't do this. No, I can't. There's no, I can't do this. As he's counting down, and finally she chooses her boyfriend. Now, not to defend her, but her sister does have the same disease that caused her mom's death. And she's like, it's because my sister's sick. And then, right at that point, when she makes that horrible decision, a reveal happens. Tim, do you want to tell what the reveal is?
No, you do it because I don't remember.
I wanted you to do it. the friends start laughing.
Oh, okay, yes,
and
yes,
the
okay.
friends basically message her and say the whole thing was a joke.
Right. Okay, so this is where I was like, okay, that's fine if it's a joke. Like, well, but there's still a lot more movie left
oh, no,
to go.
The movie was only like halfway done. I remember, I think you were like, wait, that's it?
Like, I was is this a short, but it's a long short?
I did think at that point, okay, that's a sort of nice, clever twist. But of course, I was like, first off, I would never talk to these people again.
No,
she's
what
so
they
angry.
Did was horrible.
Yeah, she's so, so angry. And she's like, literally, she, you know, doesn't want any part of the friends board. And they say that they have been planning all this, and that they're actually, one of them is upstairs in the attic, one of them's across the street. Like, they've been watching her the whole, like, they went to a big extent to punk her.
And it was because she has the most
followers.
Most
oh, yes,
followers.
They've been live streaming it the whole time, and there's nothing that people want to watch more than someone being terrorized.
Right, like, I think that's terrible. Even yeah. I wouldn't want to watch that.
But you would.
But I just kind of did, because I watched Shook.
Yeah, Shook. You were Shook during it.
I totally was.
So you're thinking, okay, what's going on? And then she's trying to find out, okay, well, where is my sister? Is my sister okay? And she calls the hotel, and the hotel patches her through to her sister. And her,
right.
Yeah, and her sister basically admits that there's a camera in the room and she watched her choose her
early
sister.
On, there was revealed that there is a camera inside that room.
Yeah,
and
but
I guess it was like, oh, that's right. As a viewer, like, oh, that's right. She could be watching
so
it the whole
sister
time.
Basically says, I saw you pick your boyfriend out over me. How could you? And she's like, it's all, I didn't know. I didn't know what to do. And it's because you're sick and stuff. And her sister, you start seeing a little bit of crazy in the sister because she starts showing the resentment of that, like, she was never there for the mom at the end. She was never there. Well, here's where the movie just goes off the rails.
Yeah, and it's a shame because I thought the first act and the second act were so strong and so well developed. I mean, granted, the reveal of the friends playing a joke was kind of like ho-hum, but it still was effective.
See, and I was going to say the first half for me was really good, and then, because I don't know when that the joke – well, either way – so after the friends reveal it's a joke, then suddenly one of the friends is saying she's being held captive again by someone and is, like, in danger. And at this point, she's like, okay, stop fucking with me.
Yeah.
You can't joke with me twice. Like, hello, this didn't work. Like, you already said you were joking. And, like, literally all her friends are now in danger again. And she's
so they were paid to do this joke from.
Well, do we get to the reveal then? Is the big? Well, I think it's around that time. So right away you're like, is it Kellen? Are they really in danger now? Are they joking with her again? She basically finds out that the whole thing was masterminded by her one and only sister.
Yay, sister!
So her sister not only just had the friends pretend and do the joke and then punk her, but then her sister really did take the friends captive.
And she really killed them.
And she starts to really kill them. And so you see, and again, at this point, as a viewer, I was very confused because I'm like, wait,
is this
real
even,
or not
real?
There's
a lot of loopholes.
Well, because the first time you think they're in danger, you really think they're in danger. Then when they say they're joking, you don't believe they're in danger again because it's like the boy who cried wolf. You can only do that so many times. She finds out her sister's not in the hotel after. Her sister's in the house
and
has been there
the
whole time.
Oh, and that was pretty cool. Like, because then she looks... The sister went through a lot of work to get it so she could talk to her. So her sister's just right downstairs. They're having a full-blown conversation with her sister just downstairs.
Exactly. And her sister even pretended to – she didn't actually kill the dog. That was all like an act, but literally put her dog – but then the sister reveals that literally to prepare for this whole punking, she became the dog killer, has been killing dogs around the neighborhood just so she could plan
the
joke.
But not her own, Chico.
But I mean just to plan the beginning of the joke. Where Mia would think Chico was in danger, she literally killed a bunch of other dogs just so there would be a dog killer to scare Mia into thinking she was being hunted by the dog killer.
So then her sister has her do all these elaborate things, which I really pissed me off. She's like, she found needles, and then she's like, stick them on you, and she's
well,
she does.
Everything is to
like,
prove everything's to prove a point, though. The needles injecting into herself is because she had to inject the mom as she was taking care of her with medicine all the time.
Oh, and by the way, did we talk about how the mom is inside the house dead, the body covered in those things that, like,
well, yeah, we're skipping around. Like, she, yeah. When it gets to the sisters, do that, like, she starts to basically, it just unravels. Like, the sister has been keeping the mom's body in the closet.
Very
it's just,
psycho.
It's just, and then the sister, and I've got to say, I liked the character of Mia and the actress who played the sister, or the character who played Mia, but the actress who played the sister, it was like watching a play. Like, she was over the top.
She was a little over the top, which I appreciate. I love when you have to bring an actor down. But, like,
but
no,
you bring the actor down before you film it. Right. The final product.
If you look at Betsy Palmer's performance, which I love in the original Friday 13th, it's a little over the top, but I think it works. In this movie, I want it to work.
I was laughing at it the whole time. I just thought, I mean, like, when you're laughing at someone who's supposed to be scary, it's not working.
No.
But, like, that was the only thing that didn't work. But not just that. Like, it also, the sister's having her do insane things. She also says she has to break both of her own legs.
This is when I think, okay, it already went off the rails a little bit, but this is when the roller coaster completely went off.
I mean, it's literally, there's a point where she's saying, if you don't do these things, I'm going to kill your friends, and you find out she's already killed all of them. But at some point, like, the sister, your sister's in the house, just go and fight her. Like, at this point, stop breaking your legs. You know she's going to...
She's like, take a baseball bat and break your legs.
It's
and not, so I'm
it's
like,
your
come
sister.
On.
It's not Michael Myers. Like, yeah. like at that
you
point...
You can reason with your
that's
sister.
That's what I was going to say. At that point, like, stop doing insane things and just fucking fight your sister.
So she couldn't break one of her legs, so she jumps over, like, the banister of the upstairs.
Oh, to break her leg.
And
yes.
And then the sisters have this ridiculously long talk. Like, the sister's like, you're so pretty. You have followers. Ba 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 ba.
That's another thing. It becomes to a point where, and that's before they fight. Like, they have a talk, and I don't think you would talk. I get it's her sister, but at that point, you're
you
not going to reason.
You'd just be freaking out, like, oh my god, you're crazy.
Yeah, like, you're crazy. You killed my friends. Like, they have this whole conversation that's like, they're both just, like, talking, and yeah. I'm like, why aren't you bashing your sister's
head?
Yeah,
you need
like,
to take that bat that you just hit your legs with and hit your sister.
But then they finally do have a fight, which, again, it was hard to take seriously after they had a conversation. Like, it just was. And so they have the fight, and, like, she finally is able to, like, I think
someone's
slam
at
her...
Someone's at the door, right?
Well, she slams her sister's head into, like, the side of the table, so you think she's dead, and anybody who's watched a horror movie knows one, like, head hit is not...
not enough.
Yeah, not enough. And she had called an Uber driver, and the Uber driver is there. Or yeah. No.
She called him when she was breaking her legs.
I don't even think we need to talk about, like, the real Kellen actually comes to check on there and gets killed.
He's
by the
nice
sister.
Guy, but I will Small say that part. Was the one thing that the sister I thought was funny is when he comes to the door, and, like, he's, like, really asking a ridiculous amount of questions, and he sees the puddle of blood from where she was, you know, pretending where the dog died, and then she just shoots him.
Yeah, well, but also, here's a tip for anyone who goes to a house and everything looks, like, suspicious, just leave. Like, the Kellen guy keeps asking the sister questions. Why is there blood there? Why is it at? So finally, the sister's like, fuck it, and just, like, shoots him. Again, if you think something's suspicious, leave and call the police. I think that's what we learned from this. But anyway, very end, like, the sister or Mia is, like, escaping with, I think, the Uber driver, and then they flash to the sister's not alive, and it ends. Or, sorry, the sister's not alive. It flashes to the sister is alive, and it ends.
Right, see, the whole ending is such a jumbled mess that us even trying to talk about it is annoying.
Well, I know. I'm annoyed by myself in all this back and forth explanation. Let me just say this. Like Tim said, the first act is just really... I thought it was, it had some funny parts. It was suspenseful because it had the scream aspect, the dark house, the video.
It has
stuff.
All the elements, but then I think it tries to do way too much with the sister at the end.
It unravels. The sister's over the top. The plot is over the top, and it just becomes kind of a mess. So it goes from, like, what I thought could have been good to, like, not so good.
So, Matt, were you shook?
I was shook by how fucking nuts it went.
Right. And, you know, I mean, I never like to critique performances specifically,
but that's what
I know that's what we're doing.
That's what we do.
But I mean, I just wish maybe the sister
hadn't been crazy.
No, maybe she was written too talky. It was too talky.
I love how Tim always thinks that like all of these actors and actresses are listening and are going to like come to his door. And stuff. I'm going to say what Tim won't say. She wasn't the right person for the part. She was not believable. Listen. I'm sorry. Maybe she's a great actress in other roles. This just wasn't her role.
I love her.
I know she's going to listen to the podcast and be like, "Hey, you guys are the worst." But here's the thing. Like again, I don't mean it as disrespect of her. She's probably great in other roles.
Right.
Maybe Julia Roberts wouldn't have been good in that role either. Like,
you know, she's good in everything. She's a pretty woman.
You know, I don't think she's ever played a crazy person. Some people, when they do crazy, they just do a little too much.
Well, she left Richard Gere at the altar. That's crazy.
She ran away. She ran away. But she went to her best friend's wedding.
Right.
And she was sleeping with the enemy.
You know, and sometimes people call her Mary Riley.
And she can be Aaron Brockovich. Keep going.
I can't.
Okay, let's move
more.
On to the next movie because we've spent a lot of time on Shook. But all in all,
first 20 minutes and then turn it off. Give it 45.
45 minutes, literally. As soon as the friends reveal that it's a joke, you can turn it off.
Yeah, because then it falls to shit.
Definitely. So, speaking of another insane movie, but that I think pretty much succeeded in its insanity.
I'm excited about talking
yes,
about
this. Yes, okay. If you've seen a preview for, it's called Willy's Wonderland, starring Nicolas Cage.
You might know him from a film such as Con Air.
Leaving Las Vegas.
Or, let me name another one.
Peggy Sue Got Married.
The Rock.
He has an extensive career, so of course we're like, I remember watching the trailer for this, and it looked like, what would happen if the robots at Chuck E. Cheese were possessed and started killing people and Nicolas Cage has to kill all of them? And I was like, I'm in.
Me too. I saw the trailer because I grew up with Chuck E. Cheese, but I also grew up with Showbiz. Showbiz Pizza Place? Showbiz.
I feel like I know
Remember
that.
Showbiz?
Yes. God, that's old.
I'm
sorry, because I just think it went I feel like it went out of business even when I was young.
Yeah, it did. I mean, I had like two birthdays there. How old?
Literally, I don't think I was able to have
Showbiz
a business
Showbiz Pizza
there.
Place.
A business birthday. Why? I can't even speak.
It's okay.
Well, okay. So, okay. A few things.
Showbiz.
Number one, whereas Shook is free on, if you have Shudder, Willy's Wonderland was supposed to get a theatrical. Actually, it is released in theaters.
Yeah,
I saw it.
I'm sure it is in Ohio.
It's in theaters that are open, and it's $19.99 on video on demand. And again, if you are willing to spend it, I think you should because
watch it
it's
with
crazy.
Friends, split it.
Yes, split
everyone
it.
Pay a dollar, have 20 friends over, super spreader.
So it kind of starts. I'll just let that one slide. It kind of starts with like two people are trapped inside Willy's Wonderland and they get killed. You don't see much. It's very short.
Yeah, I mean, like almost okay. If the movie does have a flaw, I will say it's the first 2 minutes of the movie, and that's it.
It's just because if you want to do an opening scene with a death, like at least give it enough time to be scary. Like if you're gonna do it for 30 seconds, you're just gonna be like,
I was like
okay,
what is that? Who are these people?
They didn't show anything, but maybe they didn't want to because so it starts. Nicolas Cage is this like guy who's he's driving through the town. You don't know much about him. He gets a flat tire, and it's like a very podunk type of town in the middle of nowhere.
But the flattening of the tire was on purpose because there were spikes in the road. But Nicolas Cage didn't know that.
Yeah, at this time only the viewer knows that. And this guy comes up a tow truck, basically says, you know, I can tow your vehicle and do all this, but it's going to cost $1,000. We only accept cash, and there are no ATMs
in
the city.
They show an ATM. It's like out of order.
But it's like, I love how it's like, who has $1,000 cash? And
I
they're
do.
Like, but
on all times,
if you want to, you can work it off by, we have this like out of business place that you can clean for us. And then we'll say it's a wash.
Yeah.
And immediately I turned to Tim and I said, this is a setup.
Oh, of course. I was like, it's entrapment.
Well, because I'm sorry. First off, no town doesn't have ATMs, but I was like, okay, they're obviously trapping people to go to this place.
Do you remember the movie Doc Holliday with Michael J. Fox?
Yes, but it's been forever since.
Remember
I saw
when
it.
He hits the fence?
Not
and
at
then
all.
He has to stay in
I
that
don't.
Small town?
Yes, I do, actually.
Okay, so I'm just saying, basically, Nicolas Cage
is
Doc Holliday.
100% perfect analogy.
So if you want to watch a movie similar,
just watch Doc Holliday.
You forget that.
It has nothing to do with it. No. So Nicolas Cage goes in. So mind you, at the beginning, at the beginning, this was a funny trait, and then it got a little annoying, but Nicolas Cage doesn't speak.
Not one word.
Well, so we're thinking, or at least I was thinking watching this, okay, he's just being like, you know, I don't know, an
he's
outsider,
like,
a macho guy. He's not going to speak. But no. He doesn't say one word through the entire movie.
Which is a, you know, I had a feeling it was going to go that way.
See, I thought it was going to, until he got in, like, the worst situations, then he'd finally speak.
He just accepted everything and these guys were telling him. They're like, okay.
There's nothing wrong with him. It's not like he's like, it's not like he can't speak or whatever. Don't speak. No,
I can't. We have to pay for that. We're poor.
Okay. It's not like he can't speak. He just chooses not to. He's like, it's almost like he's too cool to speak.
Right. Like, the movie should have been called
Too cool to Speak.
Yeah. Too cool for words.
So he goes in, and he's also very dedicated to cleaning this place.
He gets a toothbrush and gets in the crevices.
He goes into Willy's Wonderland and there's all these creepy animatronics that look like they're dead, right? And he's cleaning and cleaning and cleaning, and he's very, like, really dedicated to this. And by the way, there's a side plot going on this side where there's these teenagers led by this girl.
So Liv Tyler.
Not Liv Tyler.
No. So she apparently was one of the kids back in the day. Her parents were killed when their car broke down.
Yes, in Willy's Wonderland. So she knows. She basically knows what's going on in there.
She wants to burn it up.
The town is luring people in to get killed in Willy's Wonderland. So her and her friends want to burn it up.
Okay, but the reason they want to burn it up is because basically the town feeds people. Because the electronics. Okay,
well,
I got
should
this.
We get
I got
to that? Wait, wait,
this.
Wait.
Yeah, are we getting to it?
I mean, yeah, I guess we can explain. Okay. You don't find this out till about halfway through the movie when they do the usual. We're going to show some flashbacks to show what happened, because up until what Tim's about to explain, you just see creepy things happening, and Nicolas Cage fights against some animatronics, and you're just left to wonder why the fuck are these animatronics alive?
As a viewer, we just accept that Nicolas Cage is taken out. Animatronics.
And literally, I remember, I was like, are we supposed to wonder why animatronics are alive? No, it's cool. But then they do explain. Tim, go.
Well, first off, Nicolas Cage takes out two of them. I think one was a gorilla.
Yes, and these are, like, very explicit fight scenes, and it's very brutal, but really good, and the fact that it's Nicolas Cage fighting an animatronic makes it hilariously good.
And one, like... one was an ostrich? What was that thing? Had like a long neck?
It looked like an ostrich. And remember, they are like speaking. They're like saying like, fuck you, and we're going to kill you. I'm gonna eat your face off.
Face off.
Yeah, but these scenes are like elaborate fight scenes, which are like
great. When Nicolas Cage kills them, he doesn't just like punch them. He punches them like 50 times.
Like stomps their head into
tears
their heads off, rips apart, like bashes their heads in. But because it's an animatronic, it's not as hard to watch as like
it's
like a dark oil color.
Like
so
Vaseline.
It's easier to watch animatronics get their heads bashed in. Right. But anyway, Tim, tell us what the whole secret is.
So the big secret is one of the guys that opened Willy's
Wonderland
was part of a satanic cult.
Yes, yeah, so he and a bunch of serial killers.
Right,
there, yeah.
Which is, you know, they always open, you know, birthday places. Oh, and by the way, they have like this song. Can you sing it?
I don't think, maybe I'm not allowed
to. Oh, you're not allowed to sing it. But it's very addictive.
It's like haunting that they sing for birthdays. And it's the Willy's Wonderland song. Right. Watch the trailer and it's the song they repeat over and over.
It's very addictive and you'll love it. So they decide to, well, first off, they kill families throughout. They like give them like the birthday room and then they kill them. But then.
And this is when it's the serial killers. Just so you mind, this is serial killers dressing up as the characters in the past. And they would call the families into rooms and murder them.
And it took place in 1996. And the reason I know that is because that's the year I graduated from high school.
Do you want to tell people that?
Yes, I do. The truth shall set you free.
To jump in, the cops finally find out. I don't know why it took so long.
Oh, yeah.
And before they go to like shut the place down and arrest all
the
people.
They make the circle with the star in it.
A pentagram.
Thank you. I'm not a warlock.
And they do well I'll let that one slide too.
I'm a witch.
Well, all of the serial killers who are running the place decide they're gonna do a very like Charles Lee Ray child's play thing and put their souls into the animatronics.
Which, you know,
it's just totally normal.
That's where we are.
But wait a second, but there's another part to this. So you know, then they kill themselves. And so the cops think, oh, we're good. But then the animatronics, they're explaining this all in the backstory. The girl is explaining
which
this.
I appreciated the backstory.
Well, it's good, but it's always cheesy when it's like a long story that someone tells because you know they're doing it just for the viewers' sake.
Which
know?
I appreciate because exactly, that opening again told me nothing.
But what we didn't know is so the animatronics after that got loose and started killing people in the town. And so the sheriffs and the townsfolk made a deal with the animatronics. colonics that said,
as one town,
we will lure in outsiders and take them here for you to kill as long as you leave our townsfolk alone. Because, you know, you definitely should negotiate with animatronics.
Right. Negotiate with them and feed them any kind of stragglers that come into town.
So they literally would just, like put out spikes, get people with flat tires, say, we're going to fix your car only if you clean up Willy's Wonderland.
Which is so interesting. They had cell phones in this movie, right?
Yes, but there was no internet or no. Oh, no, cell phone. There was service because one of the kids, yeah.
Right, okay, because one of the kids didn't make a call.
So we should jump back to the present
to
day
the
plot. The teens, led by Liv, who's like the strong final girl character, she wants to help Nicolas Cage, not, you know, thinking
he's
trapped.
She knows the truth. She's the one that told us the story.
Yes, but she doesn't know that Nicolas Cage is pretty fine on his own.
Right.
She and all of her friends go in there. They're all trapped, and her friends are a bunch of idiots.
There's like a second. Sexy girl, kind of a brainy guy, the guy that has a crush on her, and then...
Yeah, who's the only, like, nice sort of one. But, like, of course, the sexy girl and her boyfriend go and have sex in one of the rooms, because that's what you do when you know that there's satanic possessed demons or animatronics there to
kill you.
Right,
you're like, you know, I gotta get busy.
Exactly. They get slashed apart by an alligator animatronic, like, bit apart. One of the guys gets, like, impaled by a huge sword by, like, the night animatronic. Good death scenes. Pretty fun.
I will say that the other teens, when the teen got stabbed, there was little to no reaction. So no one was like, oh my God, let's get out of here. They just kind of like, oh my God.
And that's the thing. This whole movie, everyone, including Nicolas Cage, who doesn't have much of an emotional reaction to anything, and I think that's partly his character and partly Nicolas Cage.
Right. Like, his only goal was to have that place cleaned, whether or not, I mean, like, animatronics.
He also has this very OCD thing where he sets an alarm every like hour, so he has to take a break and have a punch.
Right.
And literally, he's in the middle of a battle with an animatronic, takes a break and leaves the girl by herself when he was helping her to, like, he's very OCD. I don't even want to go into what is wrong with him, but like, he doesn't,
whatever that drink is, it's kind of like a,
it's a punch. It was said it was a punch.
It's like a Red Bull.
Or I think it was like, I thought it was like a Kool-Aid type, like sugary punch.
Which is an interesting choice, but I understand nothing in this movie is going to make sense.
No, I think because they probably served it at the Chuck E. Cheese place.
He brought those, didn't he?
Oh, he did? No, I thought he took them from there. Whatever, it doesn't matter.
I need to know.
So unimportant. so anyway, it gets to basically the only ones left are the girl, Liv, and Nicolas Cage, who doesn't even have a name. On IMDb, they call him the janitor.
Oh my gosh.
He didn't have a name. And Liv is a tough girl, and she can fight them off. But like, Nicolas Cage is the one who can literally just beat the shit and kill them. And he's one by one killing them. Finally, like, the sheriff comes in.
Who is Liv's, not mother, but she...
took care of her after her parents died. Right. Like, adoptive.
Yeah, right. She, well, I wouldn't say even adoptive. She basically was like, what the town is doing is so messed up, but I can't feed this little girl to the things.
But she continued to feed all the other people.
Correct.
Liv hates her. And anyway, like, the sheriff comes in and tries to basically, you know, tell Nicolas Cage, like, you can't do this. You have to die in here. Like, and, like, I think ties him up and stuff, and leaves. And I think forces the girl out. And, of course, Nicolas Cage, being, you know, the Arnold Schwarzenegger superhero, gets out of the ties, is able to defend himself and kill other animatronics. Yeah.
Well, he did get pretty slashed up by the last one.
The last one is Willy. It's the serial killer who ran the place. His soul is in, like, the main animatronic, and they have a really brutal battle.
Nicolas Cage gets cut the fuck up.
He's clawed, like, and everything. And, again, all through this, Nicolas Cage is not saying anything.
Go on.
Oh, got it. Of course, he prevails after another crazy fight.
Well,
and
Liv's mother, I'm sorry, Liv's...
the doctor,
protector,
the sheriff.
She comes in and she gets cut in half.
Yes, she is trying to tell Willy. She's like, I'm sorry, Willy. We wanted to give him to you. And Willy literally just like slashes her across the side and she cuts in half.
Right.
I mean, the gore is, when I say over the top, it's
hatchet level.
It's hatchet level. But like, hatchet level is like laughably fun. Like, you could laugh at this movie and still enjoy it. That's
I wasn't like laughing like Three's Company.
But you know what I mean? Like, when I was watching Shook and the crazy sister, I wasn't laughing. It was kind of like cringeworthy. I think Shook was trying to be serious, whereas this one
I think it was trying to be funny when the sister was trying to. I think she was going for a couple laughs.
Really? I think
a
she's just
chuckles.
Trying to see, like, be scary. I took it as she was trying to be crazy, and it just was so bad.
How,
it was funny.
People laugh at Jack Nicholson a little bit in The Shining.
Do you?
I do.
Wow.
Yeah,
I
that's
was
right.
Very
it's
disturbed.
Dark.
Okay.
No, but you know, like they, it's like that, like that. It's like
I mean,
that
yeah,
humor.
Yeah. No, I can see that. I can see that. I just think that, like, I'm pretty sure a movie that had possessed animatronics knew it was gonna be a little funny.
Right.
Whereas just a crazy sister getting revenge, it can
I
be funny.
They
it might
tried
be
to give her some zingers. And then just back,
yeah.
You know.
So, well, so back to the finale. Nicolas Cage, of course, prevails. But, like, the best part is the sheriff and the mechanic come back in the morning thinking, you know, we fed another one to the animatronics. Nicolas Cage would be dead.
But they do have his car ready.
Yeah. Well, but for them, they're going to take
well,
his
they
car.
Think.
They think he's dead. They see he's not dead. And then there was one surviving animatronic who basically blows up their car, and the sheriff and the mechanic are dead. So basically everyone you hate that's been part of this plot to kill these other people gets killed. And Liv and Nicolas Cage survive.
Drive off into the sunset.
Well, it's drive off, and it's very weird. Like, I got, like, a father-daughter vibe, because she's obviously looking up to him, but he right. has not spoken to her.
No.
Not
but
one
he did,
word.
But you could tell there was a moment where he had a moment, like,
when he gives her the punch.
He gives her a punch, like,
and that's the
hey.
Thing. That's literally the extent of Nicolas Cage's emotions. He this punch he's been drinking like hour on the hour as he's driving off with Liv, and she's in his car. He decides to give her the punch.
Talking
and
about this, I feel like we're talking about crazy. It's just crazy.
It this whole this funny this episode is crazy because we're talking about two crazy movies. But there is a big difference because I enjoyed Willy's Wonderland.
Me too. I mean, I will say I ate a 12-inch Subway.
I was like, what? Where are we going here? I will
so
say I had a 12-inch.
I had 12-inch Subway, so I was getting just tired, but I think I'm just old.
But that's like, you know, the movie could have been, you know, I was going to say an Oscar winner, but Jaws. And you, if you're tired, you're tired. But I'm just saying that I just really enjoyed Willy's Wonderland. Like, was I scared?
No.
But it's like one of those.
It's just a satisfying
fun horror movie.
Oh, and by the way, he does dance in it.
Oh, yes. He's playing a pinball machine in one scene during one of his punch breaks.
Right.
And he starts, like, weirdly dancing, which is
he
really
bizarre.
He does, like,
bizarre. A Debbie Gibson move. And
which is bizarre for someone who won't utter one word.
Right. But he did say, ooh, like, when he was playing pinball.
That's true.
So that was, like, the one line. I was like, oh, okay, they gave him one line.
Yeah, he did say, ooh. Like, he, well, I mean, I will say, I'm trying to think how they sold this to Nicolas Cage. You're like, you can be tough.
Oh,
you don't have to say anything, and you can fight a bunch of people. And he's like, I'm in.
Aren't you curious to know how much he got paid for this? I mean, do you think he's getting Con Air paychecks still?
I mean, I don't think the budget of this was Con Air style, but I'm sure he got a huge portion. I mean, and it's obvious, he's the only name in this movie.
Well,
like,
I mean, I think we spoke about this during the movie. We were just talking during the movie. But, like, we said, we would probably not watch this movie unless Nicolas Cage was in it.
Well, here's the thing. Yeah, we wouldn't have been drawn to it like we were. If it was someone else, I'm sure we would have enjoyed it as much. But yeah, we probably wouldn't have sought it out. Because,
like, Jason Priestley?
Oh my God, that would have been really weird. But here's the thing. How many people could have pulled that role off?
No, like, he's old-time cool.
But it's like, he has the perfect... You know who could have done that role also? Bruce Willis.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Which is funny because we saw that other movie. Like, you've got to be like... oozing with machismo, too cool
machismo.
To speak. That's a word.
I know. I've never heard you say it, and I've
well,
never heard it.
Oh, okay. you got to be like extra masculine. You've got to be like really, really overly cool, and being able to do a part well
Stop
without
describing
speaking
me.
Anything.
Stop describing.
Literally
me.
The polar opposite of Tim. yes, like Nicolas Cage is. This role is Nicolas Cage.
I agree. And I'm so glad it wasn't Bruce Willis because after watching Breach, I don't want to see him in anything.
Which is funny because he's in some other horror movie. I think I sent you the trailer, another sci-fi movie where he plays, again, Bruce Willis. But, you know, so will I say Nicolas Cage gave a great performance? I mean, he gave Nicolas Cage, and to me, that's great enough.
Yeah, no, I thought it was everything I wanted it to be.
Also, the final girl, she's tough, she's strong, she's smart. I liked her.
Yeah, same. Same.
Everyone else was
fine.
Annoying. No, I was going to say annoying in a way that you want people to be annoying who are going to be killed in a horror movie.
Yeah.
So, like, they knew the elements. I mean, yes, you have to go into this knowing it's insane. Because
And, you know, I think I knew once I saw the trailer.
If you see the trailer and you're okay with that, like, I love it when people, like, watch a movie, they're like, how... that is crazy. It doesn't make any sense. And I'm like, did you watch the trailer?
It's strictly for entertainment purposes. I mean, all movies are, of course. But this movie's not trying to... It's not breaking huge ground.
But like, I also think the trailer is a perfect representation of the movie. So meaning, if you watch the trailer and you're like, that looks fun, you're going to love this movie. If you watch the trailer and think it looks ridiculous and I don't want to see this, don't watch it.
Yeah, don't. You know? It's as easy as that.
But it is. But you know how there are some movies that the trailer makes it look one way and then it's totally not? This, nope. It's pretty much that.
You're getting exactly what you pay for. Yeah. $19.99 at that.
Exactly. Well, yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I would recommend Willy's Wonderland. I mean, for people who don't want to pay for it,
you can wait. I'm sure it'll be on Netflix in 2 months. I don't know.
Maybe. Or, well, do those movies... How long does it take for movies to get on Netflix now?
12 years.
12 years. So in 12 years, enjoy this. Yeah. No, but... So I would say Shook... watch the first
it's
half.
It's free. Everyone, I'm sure anyone listening to this podcast has Shudder.
I hope so. And the thing is like, again, it's not even that. We've seen a lot worse than Shook. I will say that. It did fall apart, but like, I guess especially the first half, I enjoyed it, and I was actually creeped out. So.
I thought it was creepy, and I thought the lead girl was so watchable. I was into it.
Very pretty. They have a very, very beautiful cast. Which
don't
of course,
you have a boyfriend? God.
Well, oh, yeah, I know he's going to be jealous of me
weird.
Saying that girl's pretty. No, but I mean, of course they need to. And for the sake of, you may like the parts of Shook where they're literally making fun of influencers because that is funny. But Willy's Wonderland, I think, is the one to really watch if you want to see like total insanity with a too cool for school Nicolas Cage. Right, Tim?
I agree. 110%.
Exactly. So, everybody, I guess that's it for our insanity episode.
It was pretty insanity.
It was virtual insanity. Don't sing it.
What? I don't know the song.
You don't know Jamiroquai and Virtual Insanity?
I don't know.
A great song.
About.
Okay, please, anyone who's listening that doesn't, listen to it. It is a great song. I can't sing it because we're not allowed, but it's good.
You know, listeners, also sing Love Shack because I like it.
Okay, thanks everyone.
Have a great night.
Okay, bye. Bye-bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Happy Horror Time. We're so happy you've taken the time to check out our podcast.
This podcast is hosted by Tim Murdoch and myself, Matt Emmert. It's co-produced by Jacob Randall.
You can find Happy Horror Time on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, Happy TV, and many other streaming platforms.
If you'd like to stay updated on our developments, please like and follow the Happy Horror Time podcast page on Facebook. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Happy Horror Time.
And if you'd like to contact us, send an email to happyhorrortime@gmail.com. We'd love to hear your thoughts, your movie recommendations, and any horror celebrities you'd like us to interview.
To support the podcast, please visit patreon.com/happyhorrortime and sign up to be a patron. That'll give you access to our growing library of bonus episodes. Our goal is to release at least one bonus episode per month.
I'm Tim Murdoch.
And I'm Matt Emmert.
And thanks again for listening to
Happy Horror Time.